is up. Megan, good work, and keep you guys busy.
Yeah, I was really encouraged yesterday when I heard the meeting, because I've had thoughts on my heart connected with Ephesians chapter 6 also, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I'd like for us to sing again, number 312. I'm a copycat. But we'll sing the second stanza with a different word in it, if you don't mind. It says there, we follow thee, our guide, and we'll sing who does salvation bring. Be true. Be just as true. We could also sing, we follow thee, our guide, who will salvation bring. Three aspects of salvation. One connected with the past, that's the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, who died for you. If you believe in him, you're saved. One connected with the future, salvation, final salvation when he comes from heaven. And one salvation connected with this life, to have a saved life. The first one and the last one, you get by faith of the Lord Jesus. You believe in him now, when he comes, you're going to have final salvation, guaranteed. But what about your life? That's a salvation God wants you to participate in, so he can do something with you in your life. And so let's sing number 312, and when we sing the second stanza, we'll sing it in the present tense, if you will, who does salvation bring? Someone raise the tune for me, please. For the instruction and edification too for our young people. We would thank thee again, Father, for your love to us, for the gift of thy Son, our Lord Jesus. As we wait for him from heaven, that we have occasions to live for him. And we thank you for what we heard yesterday. And it says of having overcome all, and we do pray that all the young people here would be overcomers, not to be overcome by anything, but with thy strength and thy might to overcome all. And so we pray, as we have some moments this afternoon and tomorrow too, Lord willing, thou dost leave us here, that we'll be strengthened in our faith and encouraged along and challenged and having a renewed desire to look into thy word and to know more of thee, Lord Jesus. So we pray for blessing now, and we just count on thy help as we turn to thy word. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm really not going to go over anything our brother mentioned yesterday. We can't
kind of just skipped over that which I was going to bring up, so I was thankful for that. Brother once told me he was worried. We were at the conference, some meetings, and he was worried I was going to take up the same subject he did. And I did, you know, but we talked about it differently, you know. And so I think the Lord gives us. That was happening 2 years ago, too, here, when they asked me to take some meetings for young people. The other brother that was speaking was Josh Stewart, I believe. And Josh had thoughts that were just in line with what the Lord given me. And that's from the Lord himself, because I think he has a special concern for each one of you. And so he gives us things that should be a help to you. And I trust you're attentive to what he's bringing before us, because I think it's from him. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, as a kid, I wasn't brought up in the meeting, and I used to watch cartoons, and one of them was Mighty Mouse. That was pretty. Yeah, he was a mouse, but boy, he could do things, you know. Mighty Mouse. And then later on, I had those comic books, Superman. He was a superhuman, you know, he just did all sorts of things. And you know, the actor that played in one of the movies for Superman, he had a riding accident. He was riding a horse, and he became paraplegic. Is that what you call it? Paraplegic? Hey? He couldn't move his hands, his feet. He was in a wheelchair. I thought it was really a word from the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Superman? Well, here's one who has might. The power of his might. What is mightier than his might? Anything mightier than his might? Nothing. Nothing. So it's good for us to realize that. And it says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not my might, not your might, not our might. His might. And so it goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but, four things, against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If I look at my strength, my might, me wrestle against these guys, I mean, these powers, I'm no match for them, neither are you. Neither is anyone among us a match for that. But his might, he can make us overcomers over any of that with his might. And to be strong in the Lord, let's get his strength in our life and his might operative in our life. He's going to do that. So these four enemies is what I wanted to talk about. And I have a portion in the Old Testament that I need to turn to. I'm not going to exhaust what these powerful enemies represent, but we'd just like to talk a little bit about that to help us identify some of the things that come our way and that are sent from the enemy of your soul and mind to destroy our life. You know, sometimes we think somebody has a lost life because he went into drugs and alcohol and immorality and he lost his life. But if you and I sit around till the Lord comes, we're going to lose our life. He did not leave us here till the Lord comes. He didn't do that. He's left us here for a purpose. He has a purpose for every one of us. And I don't know what he has as a purpose for your life, but he does have a purpose for your life. So we're going to go to 2 Samuel 21. And we're going to meet up with four giants. I'd like to compare those to those enemies we just read about that we wrestle against. Second Samuel 21. It says, in the hymn there, it says, the last stands up till we war no more. There's a time when there'll be no more war. Will be at perfect peace with the Lord. But if you wrestle, it's kind of never over, you know. You wrestle.
Then he gets up again, you wrestle some more. He gets up again, you wrestle some more.
It's a constant battle. And God has provided for us the necessary provisions for us to be victors every day of our life. You know, it says of the Bereans that they received the word of God gladly and they searched the scriptures daily, every day. I mean, every day they went into what they had available. They didn't have the New Testament, they had the Old Testament. And maybe they had to go to a lot of trouble to check that because it wasn't as available as we have it today. We're much more privileged than they are. We have the whole Word of God. We have it in written form. Some of you have it on your telephone. You have it on your computer. You can go and check every time. A brother says something, you can let it go in one ear, out the other. Or you can keep it in there and say, I'm going to check that out. Make sure that what the brother said, what the brother wrote, what's being published is in conformity with the Word of God, and that the Spirit of God is using what's being said or written in conformity with the Word of God to edify me, to comfort me. And I trust you're going to do that with what I say. I said something at the meeting there on Saturday, open meeting, and I want to make sure that what I say, I got up, it was 3 a.m. I went on my computer, I had this, my text there in French, English, Spanish, whatever, all the versions there, I looked up the Greek and the Hebrew. There it was, simple. It's a simple thought, but it's not generally published among us, but the Word of God is wonderful, you know. Sometimes, this is a beautiful translation, sometimes there are words in here that happens that they're not in the original. And sometimes there are words in the original that are not in here. And that's with just about every version. So it's nice for us to say, I'm going to check that out. And when we check it out, we'll find out that this book is wonderful. So these four enemies we're going to read up of in 2 Samuel chapter 21 from verse 15. These were the sons of Goliath. Remember Goliath? Well, he was a superman. He was superhuman. He was taller than anybody else. Wouldn't go through the door. He had to go down like that. You know, he talked to him like that, get a neck ache like your brother had this morning. Yes, sir. You know. David was a young man. You know, maybe your age. He slew that giant. How could that be? Oh, the power of God in David's life slew Goliath. A beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus who vanquished Satan on the cross. You know, Goliath says to David, 1 Samuel 17, he says, you come to me with sticks. That's nice. It's in the plural. Usually shepherds just have one stick. You know? But he says, thou comest to me with sticks. He had at least two sticks, you know. And when the Lord went up to meet Satan, he went with the cross, two pieces of wood, to vanquish him, to be made a curse for you and me. Goliath cursed David by his gods, and the Lord Jesus was cursed on the cross for you and me. Beautiful pictures, 1 Samuel 17. Read that. Enjoy it. Because the Spirit of God has written these things for us to see the beauty of inspiration and to show us the person of the Lord in all these beautiful pictures. But when we get this 2 Samuel 21, let's read from verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbi-Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, that's the first of the sons mentioned, all four of them are sons of the giant, the weight of whose spears weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He being girded with a new sword thought to have slain David, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. This is the first one. One thing I noticed is David went down and his servants with him. Remember the story, David, he had a terrible failure in his life. And it happened when his men went to war and he stayed home. He was their leader. And he didn't lead them to battle. He stayed home and he was led into sin. and terrible thing, and he hadn't had one of his better soldiers, that one of his strong men, he had him murdered to cover his sin. That's the David of the Old Testament. The true David, the Lord Jesus. Oh, here we have him. He went down and his servants with him. He's the leader. And we follow him. Lead on, Almighty Lord. We sang about that. And you know, we all have different personalities. Some of you, that's the way we are. Are more followers. And that's our person. We like, you know, we like to go forward. But some of you are leaders. You know. Peter said, I go fishing. And the others said, we're going to go with you. I go drinking. I go partying. I'm going to go with you. I go preaching. I go attracting. I go witnessing. Go ahead. You're a leader. Make sure you set a good example for others. And what you'll find in very little time is people are going to follow you. You're going to say, no, you're setting a good example. And you know, who has that kind of power? I don't have that kind of power. Neither do you. Does the Lord have that kind of power? Of course he has. He can give you a kind of power if you get it from him. And you know, he used his personality. Peter was a leader. Others were more followers. They're all godly men and wanting to please the Lord. We have different ways of acting. But if you have a leader's character, you'd be like the Lord Jesus. You'd be a good leader. Be careful where you go. Be careful what example you set. Be careful with the things that you allow in your life, because others are going to imitate what you're doing. Be a Berean. What did you read this morning? No. Maybe you don't say it like that, because people feel judged. Say, hey, this morning I read this. Ever notice this? Share something that you enjoyed in the Word of God, that you really enjoyed. And then somebody says, hey, I never saw that. That's nice, yeah. And maybe he didn't read his Bible, but he got something from the Word of God through you. And it's quite something, you know, when somebody your own age and the same peer group does something like that. Doesn't make you feel awkward. He just gives you a little nugget there. Well, you know, David waxed faint, and you know, my Savior, he never waxes faint. He's mighty. He was mighty, he is mighty, will be mighty. But his strength is made perfect in weakness. So he can use the weakest one in this room to manifest his power and his strength. So, even if you're the weakest one, you say, wow, I have available the greatest power from the Lord. The weaker I am, the stronger he can be in my life. Well, let's go on. What's about this giant Ishbi-Benob? I think his name means seated on high. Ishbi-Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels. You know, Philistines, I believe, represent to us enemies in the land. And you know, Satan, he wants to be active. He's got the whole world in darkness. I mean, you know, that doesn't take much energy for him, you know. Natural man goes after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's just going on. There's systems out there. He's got all these panels by the highway, you know. So he's got to work specially hard among believers to distract them, to destroy what God is building. That's what he wants to do. He's attacking here. The people of God. And what he wants to get to, Ishbi-Benob, he wants to get to David. That's who he wants to get, because David killed his father. You know, he's after David. And that's why it says here that taught to have slain David. What about this giant? Well, one thing I remark about this giant, that he was sitting on high, and from what I read, he carried a lot of weight. Now, some believers carry a lot of weight. I was brought up Catholic, and I tell you, the Pope carries a lot of weight. He can say things, and everybody else has to say it. It's got to be true. The Pope said it. But I know the Pope says things that contrary to the Word of God. I was brought up Catholic, and it took a little while for the Spirit of God to give me liberty to say it. The Pope's a man. He carries a lot of weight, but not with me anymore. And I say this with respect, brothers, that we should respect our older brothers. And we should benefit from what the Lord has given them. But the danger with the natural man and myself and everyone in this room is if you get a little bit of a position, a little bit of a name, we had that in 1 Peter 5, lording, being lords over the flock, carrying excessive weight, too much weight. The Lord is leading this way, but I have my thoughts about things. That's a very serious thing. And you know, we are a small gathering. We are small gatherings. We're not big groups. We're small groups. And there's much weakness, but you know, His weakness is made perfect. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And there's the opportunity we have. We're so small that we can enjoy the Lord, you know. And He can come in and manifest Himself and give us common thoughts. How come I have the same thoughts as my brother there, Ted? I didn't phone Ted. He didn't phone me. He just, Lord said, I want these young people to be encouraged. And I'm going to give them to whoever uses. Thoughts that come from him. And we get to be the mouthpieces. And it's a real privilege. He went after David. You know, the enemy of our souls, he wants to attack the person of the Lord. And this is the first thing you need to be established in, is who the Lord Jesus really is. Now, the Lord Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He is absolutely God. He was always absolutely God. He never became God. He was always God. But he was always a man. He became a man when he was born into the world. And here's one whose name is Jesus, God manifest in flesh. He's a man. A full man. How do you become a man into the world? You're born of a woman. He's born of a woman, a Virgin Mary, to the working of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't have an earthly father. Doesn't have an earthly fallen nature. But he's perfectly a man. Still God, but a man now. And as you read the scriptures and you see the Lord as the obedient servant, you will find verses where he speaks of his Father greater than him. He's not comparing himself as God. He took that position of a servant and he gives glory to his God and Father. And so he does that as a man. Now when we talk about the Lord Jesus as a person, in the Old Testament there was a time when the ark was brought to a certain place and they wanted to look in the ark. And when they looked into the ark, the Lord slew them. And I think 70 men died. Other versions say more than that. But 70 men died right there because God doesn't want you to look into the ark, which is the reality of who the person of the Lord is. You cannot dissect him as to his manhood or his godhood. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's perfectly God and he's perfectly man. And when we get beyond that, we might get into trouble because we're attacking, talking about his person, perhaps in a way that is not comely, if I should say. Jehovah's Witnesses. They do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. They would say he's a creature. That in the Old Testament he was the Archangel Michael, which is absolutely false. He does not have a beginning as God. Another sect that is still going around, as far as I know, is by a man, he was an American, called William Branham. And he seduced a lot of Christians because he had a very, very biblical discourse on prophecy. Many of the things he said were just right on. And if you were listening to him today, the older brothers here who know prophecy say, hey, wow, when he speaks of the seven churches in Revelation, why, he's right on. But what William Branham taught was that God is one. There's no such thing as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They would read 1 John and say, the Father became the Son to be the Savior of the world. They would never deny the deity of Christ. What they deny is the personality of the Son. They get rid of the Son. Who's that from? Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny his deity. And William Branham denies his personality. Oh, Satan is so subtle. You know, he uses this book. Jehovah's Witnesses are going around with Bibles. You know? Not this one, though. And not the French one that I have. They have their own version where they change things. Because the attack is on the Lord Jesus. That's pretty clear to you and me, I'm sure. But I just want to mention there are other attacks on the person of the Lord Jesus. It's
presenting him not according to his character. A legal Jesus. A pharisaical Jesus. A liberal Jesus. These are thoughts of men. Maybe somebody else putting that in their hearts to say things about the Lord which are not true. When the Apostle Paul says that I may know him, he knew him already. Growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we get to know him more. He's a wonderful person. And may God grant us as we speak of him as who he really is. God, man, gracious, loving, absolutely holy, understandable, a shepherd, caring. Well, I just want to go back to, before we go to the other three there, I want to go back to a portion in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, I want to go to a Lord there in the book of Judges. His name is Adonai Bezek. We spoke about him yesterday at the dinner table, I think. Judges chapter 7. You know, in the book of Judges, Moses isn't there anymore, and Joshua isn't there anymore. And so they're kind of, you'd say they were left to themselves. They weren't really left to themselves, but, and to us, you know, the Lord is gone, and the apostles are gone, and are we left to ourselves? No, God has given us His Word and His Spirit. And He has given us sufficient resources for us to be living the Christian life. Nothing lacking on part of his provisions. The lacking is on our part. But here was Adonai Bezek, and they catch him, verse 6, and Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him. That's Judah and Simeon. And you know, I enjoyed the thought that Judah helped Simeon, you know. Judah says, you're going to come with me, I'm going to go and fight over there. And he went with him and gave him a hand. So, nice to give others a hand. You know, sometimes it's not really our exercise, but there's a help I can be, and I can be a help. And finally, I'm doing something for the Lord, and that's what the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to be a help. It's one of the gifts, one of the members of the body are helps, you know. So they pursued him after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and great toes. And here's what Adonai Bezek says. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God had requited me. Requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Adonai Bezek, he's the Lord. Adonai is Lord. Some translators said he's the Lord of dispersion. But he was the Lord. And he had a table. But he had all these 70 kings. He cut off their thumbs and their great toes. And he had them feed on what fell from his table. On the ground. And I like to have a volunteer. I need a volunteer. You want to be my volunteer? Thank you, sir. You people right here, I have a volunteer. I have five quarters here. I want you to pick up these five quarters, but before you do, I'm going to have to limit the use of your thumb. You don't mind. I want to play the role of Adonai Bezek. I shouldn't make this statement so bad.
You know?
Got it. Try not to get too much on it. This one has to put it very way. That's the way to do it again. So you don't use your tongue, my hand. Okay. There you go. That's good enough. Just to make sure you don't do it other way. So, here you go. So do I want to time him? Go ahead. Oh, he's pretty good. Hey, boy, he's got good fingernails. Listen, you're putting me to shame. Okay, let me do it this way. Maybe not. I can bring my hand. That's too bad. Well, tell you what. You're too good. Stay there. We're going to try with the toes now. This is a piece of wood. You want to hold that for me?
Sure.
I have these little cutters here. I have a piece of wood here. I want to show you that. Whoa, look at that. Okay, so which leg we go?
Oh, there it is.
Well, it didn't work the way I wanted because I put tape on my hands
last night, you know.
I tried to pick up these things, you know. I couldn't pick them up.
I said, I'll get somebody. You're too smart. Go sit down. If you want to be Superman, I'd vote for you. But can you imagine being on the floor, not being able to use your tongue, trying to get whatever you could get, you know? He didn't take 70 peasants, 70 people from the market, but 70 kings. People who had opportunity kingdoms, you know, rule, the things they could have done, implemented where they were. And he made them his slaves under the table. It reminds me of that Canaanite woman, and she called on the Lord Jesus, and it's in Matthew 15, and she says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Her daughter was tormented with an evil spirit. And he said, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And she says, Lord, you know, she calls him Lord. And he says, it's not proper to take the bread of the children to give it to the dogs, you know. And she says, even the dogs, they get the crumbs under the table. And the Lord was surprised. He said, wow, great faith. Go as be done as she wanted. She went home, her daughter had been healed. She was delivered, you know. The Lord Jesus doesn't want you to eat the crumbs under his table. He wants you at his table and join him in fellowship with him and eating the same things he is eating and enjoying, and the Father too. What a difference, you know. No, you show me your thumb. You can't. Everybody got a thumb? Thumbs up. You want to go somewhere you don't have a car? They're pretty handy. Well, I think the enemy of our souls is able to cut off our thumbs spiritually. Here it is. Ta-dam. My wife and I, we have a property in Montreal with my in-laws, and we have a tenant moved in. And we're on welfare, and the place was a mess where we went. She said, this is my mother's stuff, and we just emptied her closet and get rid of this. So they moved in, and I went there this week to do something, and in fact, that's why I have this tool. I brought it to clean up some branches, and the house was a mess, and it smells like cat pee there, whatever you call it in English. What is that? Huh? Okay. Anyway, it was. So I just said, you got all the boxes, So, and then you maybe haven't noticed, but you're here all the time. You might not notice, but it smelled a lot like cat food. Nope, I didn't make a fuss. I just mentioned that, and then I gave back the key, and I fixed the back door, and everything. So, I'm on the way here. She sends me an epistle. 2.5 pages. She must have been like that. Oh, let me tell you. Not one mistake, not one spelling mistake. If I do it on my keyboard, I have to correct myself. He was really upset. I have to settle that when I get back. But, you know, the enemy of our souls, maybe he cannot cut your thumbs off. Why can't you keep your thumbs busy? Try holding your Bible without your thumbs. Try it. Try and find the page in your Bible without using your thumb. You're finally going to drop your Bible. You're going to have a hard time. Thumbs are essential. Some people have accidents and you can be missing your thumb. How practical it is. You know? How'd you get a hold of things with just your fingers? God has given us that. This little gadget here, if you look at it properly, it has 5 fingers on each side. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that's what gives it, the engineer who designed it, multiplied the power on these fingers. So I can, it says a 2-inch branch. That's pretty good. That's a 2-inch branch. Green wood there. You can go in the woods and if you can get the branch in it, you can just cut it like that. I've used it many times. I get on toes, but I have used it, and it works. Satan multiplies his device, is to use devices to promote devices. He multiplies pornography, and he multiplies filthiness, and he multiplies, and he multiplies. And it's available everywhere. And it's available to you. You can go on like this. Because, you know, it's a wonderful tool. I enjoy being able to talk to my wife and, you know, but then I set it aside. It's a tool. You use a tool in a proper way, it's good. Use it in a wrong way, it's bad. I had a son, one of my sons, he's older now, he was younger. Boy, whew. He picked up a hammer. Please get out of the way. He just knocked on everything. It wasn't made for that, it was to hit nails, you know, but he just bang here, bang there. So make sure. This is a new era of technology. This is all new things he had there. He had a new, let's see what it says, verse 15, he had a new sword. It's in italics. It has a new. Could have been a new spear, could have been a new something. It was new. Bringing something new in. What's the purpose? Attacking David. Attacking those that belong to David. And that's who these kings were. They were kings picking up crumbs from the floor. Your sons and daughters of the king. You have great privileges. Don't let Satan have you pick up crumbs from the floor. You can be sitting at the Lord's table. He's made you fit for that by his work on the cross. Not looking for anything from you to make you fit. He's made you fit. And you can stay fit for that. Just behave. You know? Well, let's go back to our little portion there in 2 Samuel 15. So Abishai slew him. And the men of David swear unto him, thou shalt go no more out with us, verse 17, to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. You know, I think it's a good parallel to be very attentive as believers to what's being said about our Lord and his work. You know, I often go to Cuba and meet up with believers, and I tell them about the Lord and salvation. How's it going as a believer? Luchando. I'm wrestling. You know. They're wrestling to keep their salvation. Luchando. Because if you don't luchando, you might go to the perdido. You know. But God wants you to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. First step. Who he is. And then what he's done. And right there is worship. Who he is and what he's done. And he's made us worshipers. He delights in having our service, you know. He delights for you to live for him. He wants you to live for him. He's going to help you to live for him. But has nothing to do with what he's done for you. Because he loves you. And if you one day you said, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. You trusted him in your heart. You're going to be in glory. Every one of us, we're going to be in glory. And I don't want to be sorry for wasting my time down here. For wasting my life. For dishonoring his name. But you have more of a life to live than I have if the Lord doesn't come. You know. As years go by, you know, we all leave this scene. Many dear brothers who helped us along, they're gone. And there's new generations coming along. And when the new generations come along, the devil has new ways of tripping them up, distracting them, keeping them from being what they're supposed to be. And you know, it's surprising that I go to Cuba, I meet up with more believers in Cuba than in North America. Percentage-wise, everybody talks about God. I go to Africa, I speak about the Lord, and boy, these people are receptive. Rather go to India, doors open in India, and in Angola, and you know, America, it's getting there all the time. Why is that? Oh, we're secular, we've given up. Politically, you might say, publicly. Has the Lord given up on us? No. Power of his might hasn't changed. And he can sustain you in this day and age to live for him. Well, what's the next one here? We have verse 18. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. I'm sure there's more in that verse, but all I got from that verse was the name of Saph. It means extended. Get more. Brother said on Saturday, I want much, much more. I just want more. What I have now is not enough. God has given you His Word. God has given you His Spirit. God has given you brothers and sisters. God has given you perhaps a place to attend, to be, and to enjoy the Lord together, but that's not enough. I just want. I want to go where there's more young people. I want to go where there's a charismatic teacher. I want to go where I just like it a little bit more, Well, Scripture says we should be content. A content spirit is something wonderful. And if the Lord asks you tonight, or this afternoon, if you're the Lord's, if He asked you, if He sat beside you, and He put His arm around, He said, am I enough for you? Am I sufficient? Am I enough to be satisfied with you? Are you missing something? Am I enough for you? You'd probably say, no, you're sufficient. My natural life might say, well, I'd like to catch a big fish, I'd like to go play sports, I'd like to. But is the Lord sufficient? The Lord is sufficient. And then all the other things He adds on. So thank you, Lord, for the nice day. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the activities. Thank you for sports. Thank you for the quality of life that we have. It's enough. You give me more? Thank you, Lord. But I have enough. Lord moved me. I had a brother on my heart, and I wanted to give him something, and I gave him something, and he gave it back. He said, I have enough, You could have more. No, he said, I have enough. Well, this one says, you don't have enough. Some people said, this book isn't enough. You need to read the other Gospels. It's not this book, And there are other writings that they didn't include. They're very good. So you can't just rely on this book. You need more. And you just can't sit in your room and pray and read simply and learn that way. You need to read so-and-so. You need more. You don't need more. We have more, and we can benefit by more, but we don't need more. God is sufficient to supply all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Scripture says, speaks to my own heart, to learn to be satisfied. What's the next one? And there again was battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jerioregim, I wonder why they called their kids that way. A Bethlehemite slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. That suggests to me, a weaver's beam, I think they made garments with that. And it suggests to me that one of the snares of the devil is to propose to you a position, a nice garment. A nice place in the world where you're recognized and valued by society. Where you're important. And personally I feel that, you have talents God has given you, natural talents and abilities, and He's left you in the world, and you should go ahead with those that He's given you and complete your studies and get a job and provide for your family, and that's fine. But lusting after position is a snare for the natural man. It happens in the world, wanting to get the next promotion, the boss's job. And it happens among the saints too, wanting to be like brother so-and-so. Wanting that position, wanting that reputation, you might say. And Satan is very able to put before us, he weaves things together to propose to you things that are going to appeal to the natural man. But you can't get a better garment than the garment that the Lord has provided for you. We're going to be in glory with garments white, not a spot on them. Sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. There's not one position in this world that comes up to the hymn of them. We're sons of God. through faith in Jesus Christ. There's nobody in this world that can offer you that. Mr. Trump. I don't know if he's a son. He's a son of God or not. He's the president of the United States. Mr. Putin. Kim Jong, you know, the god of the North Koreans. We're higher than that. Sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Can't be better than that. And if I'm a son of God, I don't need all these additional garments. If God gives them to me, give them to me. Wants me to function there, I've got to function there. In humility, you know. Telling a brother here, I was reading last week, and it came to my heart, so I was sitting down and said, I read about this brother here, this brother there. I'm talking about the cat there. And so I said, well, they have so much access to this and that, and they publish this and they publish that. And I'm, you know, and I said to myself, you know, I'm so insignificant and useless, you know. And the thought came to me, I think it was from the Lord. It says, Michelle, you stay insignificant, but be useful. Heck, it's nice to be insignificant and useful. Little boy came to Samson and he showed him where the columns were. And there was great victory that day. That's a little boy, insignificant little boy. He was really useful. And a little boy brought his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And this significant little boy at the bottom of the river, there was a short fellow there. Gone. And he blessed 5,000 people with his lunch, you know. Insignificant, but useful. May God help us, dear ones, to be insignificant and useful. When you're a young person, you know, you're going from the stage of childhood to manhood, and there's all sorts of possibilities, developments in your body, you know, and things that you look forward to, and these pulsions in your body too, and there's many things there to attract you, to distract you. But if you stay close to the Lord, He has power. His might is able to keep you from yourself and from the world, and make you useful. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Doesn't matter how old you are. His might is able at every stage of your life. It depends on you. There's no fault on His part. And the last one here. And there was a battle in Gath where a man of great stature, that's position, you know. I'm sorry, it's power, I should say. And that on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and also was born to the giant. Now these kings, they only had four fingers, 4 toes. He cut them off. This man, he has 6. He cut one off, he still had 5, you know. Brother mentioned yesterday at the that dog that bit off the little pinky, you know. I wonder what he had. He had a 6th one. Was he had 2 thumbs or 2 indexes? Or, you know, I don't know. Interesting, you know, of your hand. I look at my hand and say, oh. My hand teaches me the gospel. Repentance towards God. Oh, the bad things they did. Faith in the Lord Jesus. There it is. All the bad things I did, covered by the work of the Lord Jesus. You know? And I'm not going to tell you anything, but I tell you, if you hold your fist on this here, any other of you guys here, and you try and pull it from the other guy, you'll find, boy, God has given us quite a grip to put hand. Do you have that grip? Repentance towards God, all those things that you've done, you might have 6 fingers, 7 fingers, you might have more than that. And covered by the Lord Jesus. What about this finger here? Don't worry, I'm not going to use one of my fingers alone. What about this finger here? Remember the Lord was writing the law? Accusing people? How about pointing people to the Lord Jesus? Can you do that? Okay, try this. This is a challenge. You watch each other. Okay, ready? We're going to point the clock. When I say go, 1, 2, 3, go. Point the clock. Hey, man, wonderful. How about pointing someone to the Lord Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Hey, we can do that. You can point to the clock. That's a worthless clock. It's maybe just a battery in it. Worth a few dollars. Pointing someone to the Lord Jesus. My, hey. Power of a finger. Hey. This center one here. I'm going to present it this way. You know, this center one has been used by the devil so much to bring filthy thoughts in the minds of men. And I'm not going to use it by myself because... But you know, this is the center finger. And it's the highest And to me, it speaks of the Lord Jesus, the highest and the center of it all. That's my hand speaks of that. This one is where you put your wedding ring on. Eternal love. And this one, he is small. But man, he's useful. I tell you, that's the way it is. God has given us abilities. Small or great, we can point. We can hold the Lord. Hold on to His Word. Now this man, he had more than you and I. He could do everything better. He's probably run faster, stand better, hold stronger. I have to say, sometimes I've heard discourses in spiritual matters, and when it's finished, I'm so discouraged. I'm really, really discouraged. But this guy is so that, and I'm so, you know, I go away discouraged. I pick up a book and I read it. I get discouraged. You know, the Spirit of God is not a discourager. He's an encourager. He'll find something to encourage you about in your life. I'm sure if you review your life today, say, that's good. That's really, really good. That's good. Could be better. We could improve. Of course, we could all improve and be better. But he's an encourager. And so, sometimes in great spirituality, you can assess what it's doing to you. You feel encouraged to go on for the Lord, and you feel, I'm never going to be like that. I get discouraged. Who's that from? This was one of Goliath's sons. He had six fingers on every hand. He had six toes on every foot. Could do everything better than anybody else. Don't even try. But he wasn't a son of God. You're a son of God. He doesn't have the power of his might. You have the power of his might. Just five fingers. I'm glad you didn't cut your toe off. You got five toes. You know. We're able with the strength of the Lord to do that. And he's given us hands and feet to do that. Let's go finally to a verse. I think it's Psalm 144. A few more minutes. Psalm 144. Verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. The power of His might, His strength. You know, I'm going to be 70 years old in a while, and I am really, really thankful to the Lord for every measure of health and strength He gives me. But my eyesight is lowering. And my hearing is lowering. And my strength is lowering. I'm very thankful for the measure that I have. But I know, as time goes on, my natural ability and strength is going to go down. But His, in my life, is not going to go down. He doesn't need my energy. He doesn't need my sweat. He doesn't need that. He can use you, He can use me, in every way He wants. You know, I started public speaking in my phone campaign. No, I shouldn't say that. But here we go. In a phone company where I work, you're not getting a point for that. Anyway, I was talking to businessmen, you know, and I got in the habit of public speaking. And so it doesn't, I still worry and pray, and you know, but it doesn't affect me as badly as others. And so I asked the Lord, you know, I said, Lord, I remember asking the Lord, you open doors for me for the gospel. And He opened doors. It's always funerals, you know. So it's okay, Lord, stop having people die because I want to pray. I want to preach. But He opened a door for me in therapy houses. And it's some nights I have 20, sometimes 30, sometimes 40 guys. And they come back. And it's just a group like here, you know. So small groups. Some people get audiences of thousands of people. But no, I've been doing that since 2003. And that's 14 years ago. And I haven't counted how many Bibles I've given out, but it's in the thousands. You know, just a little bit here, a little bit there. And so it's just the way the Lord works. He has you do little things over a long period of time. And there it is, you know. There it is. You know, a tree, it grows a little bit and a little bit. And then it gets big and it's just, that's what He does in our life. And you have more growth potential than I have. I was saved when I was 27. Anybody here 27? Except the old folks in the back. Anybody here 27? No, you've got a lot of more of the Lord than I had when I was 27. And so if you just search the Scriptures daily, go to the Lord, pray, learn, listen, you're going to grow. And He's going to strengthen you. You get your strength from Him. And He's going to save your life. You're not going to waste your life. You're not going to be miserable. You're going to be useful. And that's what we want for you young people, to be blessed, to be saved if you're not. And if you're saved, to have a saved life. That when He comes, He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, how we thank Thee for these beautiful pictures in Thy Word of the victory that was over those sons of the giant. We think of David, who had 5 stones in his little pouch there, and he used one on Goliath, and there was 4 left, and these 4 giants were slain 2 by each of Thy servants. And we just thank Thee for this. And we pray we might be simple in our faith and just to be able to recognize these wiles of the devil, how he wants to distract us and occupy us and keep us from laying hold of those things which are of real value. And so we are not to pick up the crumbs under the table, Lord Jesus. We're invited to come and to remember You at Thy table, to enjoy Thy fellowship with the Father. What a privilege, what a wonder. And we thank Thee for Thy precious word, and we pray for blessing on the young people here. Give them a happy time, a profitable time spiritually too, and bless the other meetings if they're come, if He doesn't come, Lord Jesus. And so we thank Thee for all, and for Thy Spirit and Thy word. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray and thank You. Amen.